I'm speaking with Gershon Baskin. He is the founder and the co-chairman of the Israel-Palestine Center for Research and Information, IPCRI. Most of you know him. We're talking about the situation in Gaza. Dr. Baskin was instrumental in the deal to release Gilad Shalit, the Israeli soldier who was held by Hamas, and apparently was involved, or at least had some knowledge about a truce deal that was brewing, if I understand correctly, Gershon, with Hamas prior to this current escalation, violent escalation between Israel and Hamas. Could you tell us just in a nutshell what was going on before this war broke out?
Sure. About a month after Shalit was released, sometime around November 2011, in follow-up talks between my counterpart in Hamas, Dr. Hazi Hamas, the deputy foreign minister, and myself, about trying to make a long-term change in the nature of relations between Israel and Gaza, proposed that we come up with a formula for a long-term ceasefire. I drafted a model agreement. It was actually two agreements, one that would be signed between Israel and Egypt, and one signed between Hamas and Egypt. The idea was to have the formula for a long-term ceasefire agreement that would include all the elements that were necessary to prevent new rounds of violence every time they erupted. Well, we went back and forth. It went through three or four iterations before we had a text that was appropriate. I started showing it around in Israel. I went and had a meeting with Ehud Barak, the Minister of Defense, presented to him. Barak was not enthusiastic about the idea, but nonetheless, he created a very high-level, significant committee involving people from the Army, the Ministry of Defense, the Foreign Ministry, the Prime Minister's Office, the Shabak, the Shimbet, the intelligence, and they deliberated about it for about a month and a half and basically made a decision not to decide. More or less the same thing happened on the Hamas side.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last months that we had these periodic rounds of violence, I found myself in a position of passing messages back and forth between Hamas and Israel, Israel and Hamas. A person was designated, an official on the Israeli side, to be a contact person for me. And this conduit of transferring of information going back and forth has been going on for months, basically even during the time of the Shalit negotiations when we had a terrorist attack across Sinai. The bottom line message that was coming out of Gaza, in particular from Ismail Haniyeh and Ahmed Jabri, was that they didn't want to be in this situation all the time, and they were willing to enforce a ceasefire. At the end of the day, that's what happened. Once the firing of rockets back and forth ended with 10 to 30 people dead in Gaza each time we had one of these rounds, this was simply losing mathematics for them. They came to the conclusion that we got to find a way to break this cycle. Not that they were ready for peace. No one should misunderstand this. This was not Hamas talking about peace with Israel in no way. In fact, one of the most difficult things about talking about a truce was the Israeli demand that it not just be their stopping the firing themselves, but they take responsibility that no military action against Israel takes place in Gaza, and that the tunnels or other means for rearming them would be shut down as well. This was a necessary part of the deal, and it was hard for them to accept. Well, anyway, the short of it is that over the last months, we worked out an agreement that we would try to push it forward again on both sides. We talked recently about a new document that the Hamas side had drafted, and on Wednesday morning, Razi Hamad was going around Gaza showing this drafted document after he had shown it to Musa Abu Marzouk and Khalid Mashal and others, including Jabri, and the agreement was that Wednesday evening I was going to receive the draft copy in Arabic to pass on to the Israeli side and the Egyptians. I had spoken to the Israeli side, and the Egyptian side had called me the night before saying, when as soon as the draft is ready, send it to us. And then Jabri, I spoke to Razi Hamad from Hamas in the morning, and at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Jabri was assassinated.
So, Gershon, people who are listening to this, like me at the moment, are probably scratching their heads and saying, this is very confusing. I mean, what Israel is now trying to achieve with Hamas, and actually what Hamas is also trying to achieve, if I understand correctly, through services of Egypt and others, is this kind of long-lasting, more stable ceasefire. That's exactly what they're trying to reach in order to end the hostilities now. So what? Why do they have to go through these through a war, a bloody war, in order to reach that kind of agreement?
That's the big question. Look, I don't know if they would have accepted the proposal I made. The proposal I made included a mechanism for verification and for testing. And what I said is, let's test it. The bottom line was that the proposal involved a mechanism whereby when Israel knew that a terrorist cell was organizing in Gaza, rather than taking a preemptive strike against them and killing them, which is always what led to the next round of rocket fire, was Israel taking steps to protect itself against the terrorist attack, I had suggested let's test the Hamas's willingness to not only enforce a ceasefire on itself, but to prevent terrorist activities in Gaza. And let's transfer information one time to the Egyptians, let the Egyptians transfer to Hamas, let's give them 24 hours, 48 hours to deal with the problem. If they deal with it, great. Then we have an agreement that works. If they don't, then Israel can always go in and launch the attack and kill the people and do whatever it wants. It's the same with Jabali. If there was a chance that Jabali would have agreed to this and the other leaders of Hamas would have agreed to it, then why not try it? But the voices in the Israeli military system, in the security establishment, was, and it's a legitimate point of view, that making agreements with Hamas strengthens them. What we essentially want to do is weaken them, which I agree to entirely. So why strengthen them? What we need to do is strengthen Israel's deterrence, whatever that means. For the Israeli security establishment, strengthening deterrence means was picking the person who's considered the most protected, the most dangerous, the most difficult to kill, and killing him. And by killing Jabri, who's the head of the pyramid, you're basically sending a message to everyone in Hamas, everyone in the Islamic Jihad, in the Popular Resistance Committee, that no one has impunity. We can get to every single one of you. So if you're going to shoot rockets at us, know that you're shooting rockets at us and endangering your own lives.
Right.
The problem is that these people in Hamas don't really care much about their lives. They have very clear suicidal tendencies. When we were negotiating with Jabri and we were stuck and there was an impression on the Israeli side that we couldn't make an agreement with Jabri because he was holding on to Shalita's life insurance policy, I tried to find out if we could offer some form of international guarantees for Shalit instead of a life insurance policy. And Jabri's response was, if I live or if I die, that's my fate, which has already been decided by Allah. There's no life insurance policy that you can give me, and Shalit is not a life insurance policy because I'm not afraid to die.
Yeah.
And you have people in Gaza now who I'm afraid. There are people in Gaza from the incident of Qassam, from the military wing of Hamas, who are saying to the Israeli ground assault, bring it on. We want to take them on. We have a very bad military balance. Our rockets are not getting through. They're not killing Israelis. But they're coming to Gaza. We're going to kill some soldiers. We're going to blow up some tanks. And maybe we'll even be lucky enough to kidnap a soldier.
Let me ask you one last question, Gershon. You described earlier the Israeli reluctance to enter into such a deal. To be fair, I'm sure that there was also a reluctance on the part of Hamas. You know, Aluf Ben of Haaretz described Jabari as Israel's security subcontractor in Gaza.
Yeah, that's not accurate.
It's not accurate. Well, I'm sure that he did not want to be portrayed as such, and entering into this kind of a deal that you described before, where there would be an actual albeit indirect security collaboration between Israel and Hamas, is something that he probably would not have wanted to be seen as, right?
Well, this was hard for them to accept, there's no doubt, but the way that I was portraying it and my counterpart in Hamas was portraying it is that Hamas is the sovereign power in this territory. If it wants to be sovereign, it has to take authority and responsibility. We talked about an arrangement whereby they would take control the buffer zone, 300 meter zone, 300 yards from the border fence inland, and declared a closed military area under Hamas control. And the Israelis were willing to agree that if they take control of that territory, they're patrolling to prevent attacks against Israel rather than launching attacks against Israel, Israel would allow it, and they could portray it in front of their people as Hamas taking sovereign control of the territory. They were protecting themselves against Israeli attacks. Now, they had no plans of dropping their ways of thinking of other means of resistance. They were not ready to recognize Israel and make peace with Israel. And I understand that, so we have to complete the other piece of the puzzle. If we want to weaken Hamas, Israel cannot do a regime change. I mean, we can militarily. We can do it. but then we end up reoccupying Gaza. If we want to do a regime change in Gaza, we have to provide the Palestinian people with a real alternative, and the real alternative is peace. We make peace with Abu Mazen and the PLO. That peace includes the West Bank and Gaza, but we say that it will be implemented in Gaza when there's a regime there that accepts the terms of the peace deal. Give the people of Gaza an opportunity for peace, for quiet, for prosperity, for freedom and liberation, and they will get rid of Hamas, or Hamas will change. I have no doubt about that. They can do a regime change. We can't, but we have to give them the tools to do that, and the primary tool to do that is peace with the PLO, Abu Mazen, and the people of Palestine.
Gershon, thank you very much for taking the time to do this with us. I really appreciate this, and thanks again. Keep up the good
My
work.
Pleasure.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.